Well, Element Church, it has been so great talking about evangelism over the last few weeks, and I'm so excited today to continue our discussion about this. And 2 weeks ago, we heard from Dan Kochenour, and I believe that you were inspired and that you were challenged and that something hopefully ignited and kicked up on the inside of you in regards to evangelism. And then last week, we talked about, yes, harvesting, but also gardening and the work of evangelism. We tried to broaden our view and scope of evangelism and understand that we have a part to play in that. Today, what I want to do is talk about a game plan. I want to move it from principles to practices. I want to go just from concept or content into conversation. How do we take this into a conversation that we might have with someone, maybe someone who doesn't yet know Jesus? And we're going to talk about that today. I want to remind us that we did talk last week about harvesting. We also talked about gardening. And I didn't quote this last week, but there's a quote from Greg Kochel talking about the concept we talked about last week. And he said this. He said, before there can be any harvest, there has to be a season of gardening or sowing. And so the idea is, you guys, is that we can't just expect, aside from just a pure miracle of God, which all of evangelism is a miracle of God, but just aside from God just moving in and just moving from someone, remember on the Engel scale, from like negative eight to zero, short of God just doing a Zacchaeus on somebody in a moment, which he can do, before there can be a harvest, there has to be a season of gardening. And we talked about John 4 last week, although we didn't read it. And I wanted to read it as we start into our time together this morning, because remember we talked about there's one who sows, that's the gardening, and then there's one who reaps, but they work together. And so I want to read John 4, 35 through 38. If you're watching this on the live stream, we read this to open our time together. If you're catching this post live stream, I want to read this for you here. John 4, 35 to 38. It says this. It says, Jesus is talking. He says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Verse 36, even now the one who reaps, that's the harvesting. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvest, a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Now, did you see it? Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, look, a season of evangelism is coming, and a season of harvesting is coming. You, disciples, are going to be harvesting, but you're going to be harvesting fields and work that you've not done. And yes, you're going to reap eternal benefits and eternal reward for a harvesting of the crop. But remember, you're harvesting that someone else has done the other work, and they are going to rejoice with you because of the harvest that you draw in. I'll read it one more time, just this one verse, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. And again, that's what we want to talk about. There's two kinds of workers. There's sowers and reapers. There's gardeners and harvesters. And they rejoice together for the work that they both do. Now, remember week one, Dan, we said maybe Dan has more of an opportunity and maybe even a gifting to be a harvester. And some of you have that. And some of you say, I may not have the opportunity or the gifting to be a harvester, although God still has that responsibility on all of our lives if we have that opportunity, but that many of us may have the opportunity and be gifted as gardeners. And I'm spending more time on gardening in our time together because I think Dan did such a great job of talking about harvesting. Also, I think that we misunderstand the gardening part more. I think we think about the harvesting part more with evangelism. And then I want to remind us too that in our culture, kind of a post-Christian culture, we're going to have to spend more time gardening than we've done in recent history. So as Francis Schaeffer said, it's pre-evangelism. And we talked last week on the evangel scale of evangelism. So again, today I want to talk about how we put this into practice. We've done 2 weeks on evangelism now. And so now that we've done those 2 weeks on evangelism, what I want to do is how do we transfer that content into conversation? So what we need is we need a bridge. We need a bridge from content and concept to conversation. And over the next few minutes that we have, here is what I want to try to offer you. I want to give you a game plan that will allow you to converse with confidence in any situation, no matter how little you know or how aggressive and knowledgeable the other person happens to be. Now, hopefully we're not in contentious conversations, but I believe that this game plan will even work in that situation. So You guys ready for that? We have a short amount of time this morning in comparison to the rest of even our Sundays, right? But I'm going to give us, hopefully, that game plan in the next few moments, and I believe that you're going to be able to get into this. So Colossians 4, 5, and 6 is going to be kind of our root scripture here. And I'm going to read this to us. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. It says this. It says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. That's those who haven't come home to God yet. It says, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, there's a lot in there, you guys, but let me give you three quick things, okay? It says at the beginning of verse 5, be wise, all right? So I'm going to just call that, Greg Kokel calls that, be nice. And then it says, be always full of grace, and Greg Kokel says, be smart, and then full of grace is be nice. And then the last part here, seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone, be tactical. So again, I'm not even going to build all of these out today, but those are really the three ideas. If you want a game plan, here's your game plan. Be smart, be nice, and then be tactical. And we're going to spend our time talking about being tactical, but the tactical part doesn't matter if you're not smart with God's smarts, and you're not nice. Because here's the thing, the biggest foundational tactic, okay, is don't get in a fight with somebody. That's the biggest foundational tactic, because when you get in a fight with someone or you get mad, you actually violate all three of these principles, because you're not being nice, you're not being tactical, and you're not being smart, because people who are angry are not listening, and whether that's the other person or whether that's you. So here's our game plan, be smart, be nice, be tactical. Be smart, be nice, be tactical. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be smart, be nice, be tactical. Now, there's in the tactical conversation, there's a book by a gentleman named Greg Kokel, who I've learned so much from, and much of this teaching is actually from him. And he wrote a book called Tactics. And what he reminds us is that being tactical is not about winning an argument or manipulating someone or trying to do something like that. It's not about coercion. It's about managing a good conversation. And tactics are really for us to have good conversations with people. And remember, yes, maybe have an opportunity for harvest, but really just do some gardening, just leaving a pebble in someone's shoe. Now, years ago, there was a show on TV. I tried to get a more modern example, but there's just not one that's as good as this. So I'm using it. And if you are not familiar with this show, you're gonna have to go back and check it out. My grandmother used to watch this show all the time. I used to go over to her house and she would watch this show. It was always on the TV. This and like Perry Mason and Matlock. If you're old enough to remember any of those shows, many of you are not, you can go look them up. But there was a show and there was a gentleman named Columbo. And he was a detective. And in this show, he was kind of a bumbling detective. He would kind of bumble and stumble his way around. He was kind of this unassuming guy. And he had this thing that he would do. He would kind of like, you know, he had a trench coat and a cigar, and he'd kind of bumble his way around. And he was a detective trying to solve these crimes. But he was always unassuming, and he would always say things like this. He would go, you know, there's just something about this. He had this kind of like accent. You know, just something about this that bothers me. And he would say, do you mind if I ask you a question? And he would say, do you mind if I ask you a question about that? And he'd ask him a question and they'd answer it. He'd be like, you know, and then he would kind of like stumble around and kind of scratch his head. And then he'd ask another question and another question. And the whole reason this is such a great example, and the whole reason that the show worked, the reason my grandmother probably loved it so much, is that he always was getting to the bottom of something in a kind of unassuming way by asking questions. And what was fascinating is that toward the end of the show, right, there would always be that moment where he would put all the pieces together, the pieces that not everybody else saw, excuse me, because he had been asking the questions and he had been listening for information. So remember we said this, we said, be smart, be nice, be tactical. What is the be tactical part all about? The be tactical part, if I could give you a heading, is about this. Ask questions about their point of view, and then hold them to defend it. Ask them questions about their point of view and then hold them to defend it. Hold on, I have to get some water. Ask questions about their point of view and let them defend it. So that's what we want to do. Greg Kokel calls this the Columbo tactic. And so if you don't hear anything else, just think about that, the Columbo tactic. And the idea is that we're asking people questions about their point of view, and then we're allowing them to defend it. Greg Kokel says this allows us to go on the offensive in an inoffensive way with carefully selected questions to advance the conversation. So, you know, it's interesting that God does this all the time. One of my favorite examples, and the one that came to my mind when I was preparing this, is actually Jacob in the Old Testament, where he's wrestling with God by the riverbank. And it says that he wrestles with the angel all night long. And then Jacob says to the angel, as the day starts to, the sun's coming up, and Jacob says this, he says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And God says to him, "What's your name?" Now, I love that, because Jacob is like, Jacob's mind is one place, and God is asking him a question to help him wrestle with what he's actually looking for. And I think that so many times people actually have not thought as deeply as they could or should about their own beliefs. And what we want to do with the Columbo tactic is we want to ask questions and then about their point of view and then allow them to defend it. So Jesus did this also with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. They would try to pin him or trap him somewhere, and he would always ask them questions, and that would allow the conversation to move forward in a productive way. So Greg Kokel, in his book Tactics, he says the main foundational thing is don't get in an argument, don't get angry, because that kind of blows up everything. Be smart, be nice, and be tactical. You can't do any of that when you're in a fight. And he says, but beyond that, the main tactic, you guys, is the Columbo tactic. It's to unassumingly ask questions to get us to the bottom of what's really going on. We're going to ask about their point of view, and we're going to allow them to defend it. So I have just a couple thoughts by way of points today. Number one is when we talk about being tactical, because remember, we're in the third part of that. Be tactical is we want to ask questions to gather information. Now, that's super simple, you guys. So, hey, here's the deal. If you are in a conversation and you hit a roadblock, if you're in a conversation and you don't know what to say, if you're in a conversation and something doesn't make sense, there's ambiguity, I will give you the tool that you need to use. We're talking about a game plan today. Remember, that will allow you to have any conversation with anybody anywhere. Here's what you do. The Columbo tactic. You unassumingly scratch your head and ask a question. Now, you don't actually have to scratch your head, but you ask a question. Ask a good question, okay? Asking questions puts you in the driver's seat of the conversation, but it keeps the focus of the conversation on them. Greg Kokel says this. He says, every time you ask a question, the other person gets to talk. I love that. There is no pressure, and you're getting an education. We can go on the offensive in an inoffensive way. So, you know, just by way of example, right? If you're conversating with somebody and they find out you're a Christian, and maybe they say something like this, "Well, I don't believe in God." It's interesting how we handle that moment, right? Because that is a moment that could be potentially contentious. And for many of us, we feel some sort of pressure to start to offer like a proof for God. We, you know, like, well, I believe, you know, I want to defend God because I believe in God. I mean, how do you handle the empty tomb? You know, there was all the soldiers, and then the disciples had these turns overnight where they became courageous. And all of a sudden, we're like trying to do this like apologetic work with somebody who said they don't believe in God because we're trying to prove that God exists. And we've really started to approach this conversation in entirely the wrong way. And I think that it's that approach that gives us pause and hesitation in actually having the conversations at all. What if instead we did the Columbo tactic? In an unassuming way, when someone said, "Well, I don't believe in God," we said something like this: "What do you mean by God?" And I'll just pause for a second. That's the question. What do you mean by, and then fill in the blank. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? What it's asking them, it's asking a question to get at their point of view. So if somebody says, "Well, I don't believe in God," you might say, "Well, who exactly is the God you don't believe in? Or tell me about your version of God," or "What do you mean by God?" Right? That's a great follow-up question. Right, we're doing the Columbo tactic. We're unassumingly asking questions. We're not trying to prove anything. We're asking a question in a conversation. This isn't a fight, it's not an argument. We're not making anybody mad, we're asking a question. What do you mean by God? Because when you ask that question, what you're going to find out is that that person might say, "Well, I mean like an old man in the sky with a beard who, you know, smites everybody." And, you know, at that point, it's like, "Well, I don't believe in that God either. So we're actually on the same team." And that actually starts a whole different conversation, right? You're no longer talking about Romans and empty tombs. You're actually still exploring, and gives you an opportunity to ask another question about what they actually believe, because you don't really know. Also, if somebody says, well, I don't believe in God, and you say, well, what do you mean by that? Or what do you mean by God? Or what's your concept? They might say, oh, well, you know, I grew up in the church, in the Christian church, and da-da-da-da-da, and you realize quickly they mean the Christian God, but then they say, and then somebody did this thing to me, and I haven't been back to the church since. Or maybe someone close to me passed away, and it really hurt me, and I haven't been able to reconcile that. And what you realize is that them saying, well, I don't believe in God, actually, they don't need Romans and empty tombs, and they also don't need an exploration of the nature of God. They actually need somebody to deal with where they're hurting. And so the thing is, I hope what you're seeing, you guys, is that what we need to do to have a game plan, to move content into conversation, is we need to actually have a mechanism and a way, a bridge, a conversational bridge, to get us into the right conversations. And the first thing is that we're going to be smart, and then we're going to be nice, and then we're going to be tactical. And when we talk about being tactical, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to ask questions and gather information, because we want to ask people about their point of view. And then we want to allow them to defend it. So before I move to my next thought on this, I want to give you an example, a personal example. I kind of had this question in my mind as I was preparing. If you say, well, I don't see a harvesting or a gardening opportunity in the conversation that I'm having, I started asking questions and it just nothing happened. It didn't go anywhere. What do I do with that? What you do with that is you allow it to be what it is. It's a conversation. And you were able to gather some information and you got some education and you got to know somebody, and no harm, no foul, no problem, right? You're just asking questions. That's great. So somebody says, well, Pastor Scott, what if I ask them about a question and then I don't know what to say? I don't know what to do. I hit a roadblock in the conversation. I don't know if you're getting this yet or if you're figuring it. Do the Columbo tactic. Ask a question. Scratch your head, or you don't have to scratch your head, and ask a great question. Let them build out what they're wrestling with, because remember that actually talking about an old man with a beard in the sky is way different than talking to someone who's been hurt by the church. And you don't know how to even have the conversation until you do the Columbo tactic. You ask the question and you let them build out their point of view. Now, I want to give you one more thing here before we go to the second point, but one of the questions that I love to start spiritual conversations with people, and sometimes it doesn't become a spiritual conversation, but honestly, it almost always does. I won't say always. It does a lot, is I like to ask people about their tattoos. If you see someone with a tattoo, it means that somebody took the time and the money and went through the pain to permanently put something on their body. And I will tell you this, that typically means that it's of great significance to them. And so that's why whenever I see someone with a tattoo, I love to ask them questions like, hey, what's your favorite tattoo that you have? Or, hey, that's a cool tattoo. What does that mean to you? And, you know, it gets actually a lot of times to the bottom really quickly. Now, again, I can keep asking follow-up questions. What does that tattoo mean to you? And what do you mean by that? What do you mean by fill in the blank? And you can chase that, guys, for a long time. Just do the Columbo tactic. It gets you into great conversations. And you are driving the conversation. You're being offensive in the conversation. You're driving the in an inoffensive way. You're on offense, but you're being inoffensive. Years ago, I asked someone who had come to Element. He's a young man, and he had a tattoo of like a hockey ski mask with like a knife and blood. It was a pretty graphic tattoo. And I remember asking him, I said, what does that tattoo mean to you? And he was the only person that's ever said this to me about tattoos. He said, it has absolutely no meaning. I've never heard anybody else say it. He said, it has absolutely no meaning. And I was like, well, I didn't say anything. I was thinking, that's kind of odd. And he said, I was drunk one night and I went to this place and I ended up getting it. He said it has absolutely zero meaning whatsoever. Absolutely, literally zero meaning. And we kind of just hung in the balance of that for a minute. And then he said this, wait a second. He said, that actually is kind of like a good representation of that season of my life. It was meaningless. There was like no point to anything I was doing. And he started having this revelatory thing that was taking place based on me asking him about his tattoo and him actually answering his own questions about what that meant to him. Now, I know the Holy Spirit doesn't always work like that in every situation, but I hope you can see just by asking questions, you can actually allow people to wrestle with their own point of view. And then the next part of this, guys, remember, we want to be smart, we want to be kind, we want to be tactical. And when we talk about being tactical, we're talking about the Columbo tactic. And we say we want to ask questions and gather information, right? And then we want to get information about their point of view, and then we want to allow them to defend it. And that leads me to the second point, is let them defend their point of view. The second point is we want to allow them to defend their point of view. Greg Kogel calls this reversing the burden of proof. And he says the person who makes a claim bears the responsibility to defend the claim. So if someone says whatever statement they make, and we begin to ask questions about that, right? Well, they say, I think God is like an old man in heaven with a beard, right? We're asking questions about their point of view, and then we want to ask them to defend it. So the first question that we ask, we just talked about this in the first point, is what do you mean by that? And then the second question that I want to put in as your game plan here is, how did you come to that conclusion? So what do you mean by that? And how did you come to that conclusion? So they say, well, I don't believe in God. You say, well, what do you mean by God? I say, well, this big, guy in the sky who just controls everything and punishes everybody. And of course you could say, well, I don't believe in that God either. Or you could say, that's an interesting concept of God. How did you come to that conclusion? And that's a really fascinating thing. And you're still doing the Columbo tactic. You're asking questions of their point of view, and then you're allowing them to defend it. Now, this works about a concept of God. This works about a conversation around abortion. This works around a conversation around politics. This works around a conversation about just about anything, you guys. And remember, you're not making statements. You're asking questions, and you are listening for information, and you are asking people to actually build out their point of view, and then you're asking them to defend it. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? How did you come to that conclusion? Now, what if this was the standard way that we actually engaged people in deep conversations? What if this became the standard way that we actually started relating to people? I hope you can see the power of this. What if, what do you mean by that? And then how did you come to that conclusion become the two Columbo questions that we use to be tactical, as we are being kind, and as we are being smart. And I believe that if we can be smart and be kind and nice, and we can be tactical, and we can ask people about their point of view and let them defend it, that we can sit back and watch the Holy Spirit work. And you know what? If no opportunity opens up to harvest or to garden, which I seriously doubt, but if that actually happens, then you know what? It's just a conversation. And you got to learn some stuff, and you got to know somebody. Here's one note that I want to make before I move on to the third idea and we move to our close this morning, is that I want to remind you that sometimes people have not actually thought all the way through their own opinions and beliefs. It's something they heard somewhere. It's something that they're kind of parroting off of somebody that they listened to, or something else that they saw or read, or sometimes a bumper sticker that they saw somewhere. And so what I want to also prepare you with is we have this fear, I think, as Christians, that we're going to confront someone who has all of the right answers and is going to press us on all the questions. And I think what you're going to find is that as you begin to lovingly, smartly, and be nice, and then do Columbo tactic, and you unassumingly scratch your head, you don't have to scratch your head, and ask good questions and listen and say, what do you mean by that? And how did you come to that conclusion? That what you're going to find out is that a lot of people walk themselves into a pebble in their shoe. And you guys, what I would do is step back at that point and say, good gardening, guys. Good job. And we're going to have to learn to get better at gardening in our current post-Christian culture. But as we garden, we want to watch the Holy Spirit work. Remember, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. Only God can make it grow. Only God can do the work, but we have a part to play. And that leads me to number three on being tactical, the game plan that I'm offering you guys, that Greg Kokel offers us. We want to ask questions and gather information, and then we want to allow them to defend their point of view. And then thirdly, this is where we can start to think about what maybe we would have thought about at the very beginning, is we can make a point. We can use the wisdom and knowledge that we have from God, and we can use the data and the information we've collected from them and the places where they have defended their point of view, and we can actually make a point if we want to. Now, we don't have to. And that's what's beautiful about this whole tactic, because really, you guys, this whole thing, this whole Columbo tactic is built on asking questions around allowing them to walk through their own point of view and then try to defend it. And there is a time, and there comes times when it is our moment to actually impart wisdom or knowledge. But remember, we do it And we be smart, we be nice, and then we be tactical. I know that's not proper language in that context, but Colossians 4, 5, and 6. And I want to remind us that when we make a point, talking to someone about their concept of God as an old man with a beard in the sky punishing everyone is very different than ministering to someone who's hurting. And what I want to remind you guys is that you know how to talk about the nature of God. You can do that with someone when you understand, oh, the God they're talking about isn't even the God that I know. Do you want to know anything about the God I know? That's not my concept of God at all. I don't think God punishes people. Well, that's an interesting conversation to get into, right? Or if someone's hurting, then it's not about theology. It's actually about just ministering to the person in the place they're hurting. And you know what's really, really interesting, you guys? You know how to do that. You know how to love people. You know how to show up and be present and care for people. And see, that's where evangelism actually, it's not as hard as we make it, you guys. We show up and we love people. I think oftentimes it's not that we can't answer people's questions, but that we don't really know what their questions are. And I think that that's the work that we have to do. When we truly understand their point of view, we can have a reasonable conversation with them, or at least we can leave a pebble in their shoe. Colossians 4, 5, and 6, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be smart, be nice, be tactical. And as you're tactical, remember that we're asking questions about their point of view and allowing them to defend it. Remember our friend Columbo, who unassumingly walks around, that's interesting. Let me ask one more question about that, and gathers information and begins to put together an understanding of what's really going on. Hey guys, good job gardening. We're gonna have to get a lot better at it. Go love people, and like Columbo, let's ask some great questions. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for teaching us about evangelism. God, we thank you for the harvesting and the eternal reward that comes from it. We thank you for the gardening and that we share together in joy. God, I pray today for anybody that's never actually taken that step in faith with you and they want to start a relationship with you. If that's you, you can pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Thank you for coming and dying on the cross to pay for my sin. Today, I submit my life to you. I ask you to come in. God, I want to live my life for you. God, I want you to have all of me. And God, I'm going to do my very best to live with you and to live for you. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you text the keyword element to 97,000? And on the form you'll get, there's a box on that form that says, I made a decision for Jesus today. Let us know. We're celebrating with you. And hey, for everybody else, let me pray this over us, that this would root deeply into our hearts as we go into a time of worship and the Holy Spirit continues to minister to us out of his word today. Father, thank you for today. God, I pray that you would make us harvesters and gardeners that are confident. God, I pray that we'd be smart, that we'd be nice, and God, that we'd be tactical. And God, as we are tactical, as we are shrewd as a serpent and harmless as a dove, God, I pray that you would teach us how to ask questions. And Holy Spirit, we believe that you will lead and guide us in the actual conversations in order to ask questions in the ambiguity. And God, to press in. God, what do you mean by that? And how did you come to that conclusion? And that would become a way of life, a way of conversation for us, that we could actually be tools in your hand to actually allow people to grapple with their own points of view. And God, that they would move on the Engel scale of evangelism, God, and you, Holy Spirit, would be drawing and wooing their hearts to yourself. We thank you, God, for allowing us to partner with you. And I pray that you would continue to convict us and to give us a sense of responsibility as we do partner with you to see lost sons and daughters come home. God, we pray for this fall. We pray for the Spartans. We pray for the Trojans. And God, we pray for the list of people that you've put on each and every one of our hearts. And God, we ask that you would continue to move in their life. And God, tell us what we need to do to love them well. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.